Hi, my name is Jennifer Graham. Last year in my biology class, I refused to dissect a frog. I didn't want to hurt a living thing. I said I would be happy to do it on an Apple computer. That way, I can learn, and the frog lives. But that got me into a lot of trouble, and I got a lower grade. So this year, I'm using my Apple II to study something entirely new. Constitutional law.
Hello, and welcome to Locast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, no one loves the noble game of darts more than this man. If you need proof, he's coming to us live from Vegas for the North American Darts finale. Yes, I'm serious. Managing editor Lewis Wallace is here.
Hey, yes I am.
Welcome back, Lewis. We missed you terribly.
I've missed this cult cast so
It's the highlight of your life, isn't it?
Oh man, every Thursday.
I won't tell your wife that. Also joining us, they call him the Candy Man, because if he invites you back to his cargo van, you know you're getting something sweet. Colton McBrother, Buster, he is here.
That's true. That's definitely true.
And Lewis, how's Vegas? You're at the Darts Championship, which is crazy. It's insane that someone loves darts so much they would travel all the way to Vegas to go to the championships. Are your hands all chalked up? Have you been throwing darts all day?
No, man. I'm here to watch.
You're not partaking in any of the competitions at all?
No, I'm not. Oh. I do not play at the level that would make this worthwhile. Although we've made a pact with ourselves, you know, a bunch of my friends are down here from San Francisco Darts League, and we've made a pact. Next year we're playing, because goddamn it, if you come all the way to Vegas, pay hundreds of dollars, you know, just pay an extra $400 and compete. Get your butt whipped really good by somebody.
Is that how much it costs to enter?
Well, what they do is they have qualifiers, four rounds of qualifiers. You pay $100 per qualifier, and you don't have to play all four. You can play one. Each person wins one of those qualifiers, and that's a field of like 150 people, right? So odds are against really. Plus, you're playing great players, right? So
all the best players in the U.S., right?
U.S. and Canada,
cream of the crop, and Canada.
Wow, yeah,
fierce competition, right?
Yeah,
just darts flying, chalk clouds. The guys chalking up their hands.
Actually,
you know,
no chalk whatsoever anymore. Chalk is like it's gone. Everybody uses the iPad.
Oh, I meant to chalk up your hands so you could get a better grip, not to write on the chalkboard.
Sorry.
I was like, how does that work? I mean, because you got to have something, right? So you can just get the most precise grip on that dart. Or do they have like specialized dart instrumentation,
you
grips
know,
and stuff?
Some people use that kind of stuff, but yeah. I mean, I've seen it for sale, but I don't think anybody really does that.
Because I have sweaty hands, you know, especially under pressure, the hands start getting moist, and I don't want the dart slipping out right at the wrong moment. Because how are you going to put the spin on it otherwise?
Spin?
Oh, you don't know about spin? Ooh, maybe you shouldn't compete.
Maybe this is why I'm playing wrong.
Yeah, because I it's like bowling when I play. Like, I throw it from the side, and then it curls inward, and then it does like a big spiral, then it just boom, right on top of my other dart, which is already in the bullseye.
Really?
Splits it in half, yeah.
All right, well, we'll fly you down to Vegas so you can play in this next year.
Yeah, but it's $400. That's a lot of coin, you know? Going to have to pull that kind of money together. Maybe we could do a crowdsource. We're way off track. We are going to talk about some Apple stuff this week.
Take long.
It never takes very long, does it? We've got so many great stories. Just check this out. Okay, hot off the press today. We got new evidence that Apple is indeed about to unleash a plethora of new Macs on us, probably in September. We'll talk about that. Apple is also rebuilding their Maps app from the ground up, and it looks magnificent. There was a big story out this week from TechCrunch. You probably didn't read it because it was like 17,000 words, and it took me 20 minutes to read through the entire thing. But it was actually a really good piece. I'll link to it in the show notes, and we'll talk about the improvements Apple is going to be making to the Maps app, because there's a lot of cool stuff that is being packed in. Complete redesign, complete remanufacture, if you will. And so we'll touch on that. Also, I visited the brand new Seattle flagship store, the new Apple store, and it is so sexy, Buster. Ooh. So beautiful. No one is doing beauty like Apple does. You know, all these places, all these retail stores. They all look the same. And then Apple comes out and they create a museum quality experience. I'll tell you what it was like in just a moment. It was an experience that affected me throughout the day. I can't wait to go back, actually. And let's see here. What else are we going to do? Oh, we're going to wrap up with an all-new Under Review. We'll tell you about the gadgets, apps, technology that we're currently reviewing, what we like, what we don't. I got a very accessible pick this week for everyone out there that's like, I'm tired of you guys pitching things that cost $500. This is free, and you could get your hands on it right this very moment. So I'll be telling you about that. Before we dive into my Apple Store experience, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. If you need a website, I highly recommend you go check out squarespace.com/cultcast. I use Squarespace for all of my website needs. I have for years, and I don't get it for free. I pay for it just like everyone else, and I've been paying for it for years. I use it for the cultcast.com, which is where we host some of the show notes. And I also use it to host cultcloth.co, which is the e-commerce site that I started to sell the amazing, the spectacular Cult Cloth. I built both of these websites by myself. And if you go have a look, I think they look pretty gosh darn good. You can build a website in 30 minutes if you want to. They have these beautiful templates. You select one, your website will be up and running in no time. And then if you want, using their intuitive drag and drop systems, you can customize the website and make it look uniquely yours. You can change the colors. You can add your social media. You can add videos. I mean, you can tweak absolutely everything, and it couldn't be easier to do. Plus, it's very easy to maintain. You can do everything yourself, or you can invite in contributors to help you with your website and make them do all the work for you. You could be your very own El Caney. You just kick back, watch those ducats roll in, and everyone else is just doing the work. And then you go on vacation for 3 or 4 weeks to Florida and Alabama. He's living the dream. That's how he lives his life. That could be you. If you had over to squarespace.com/cultcast, get signed up, build a website, see how you like it. If you want to continue your service after the 2-week trial, you can use code cultcast at checkout and you will save 10% off your first order. Plus, you will get a free domain name and an additional discount if you do a year of service when you are signing up. Okay, first off, we got to talk about this new Apple Store in Seattle. Have you guys seen one of these new Apple Stores in person, or am I the only one?
Like when they got the groves and everything?
Yeah, right.
I haven't seen one in person, I don't think.
Been to the one in San Francisco.
Is there one in San Francisco? I would imagine there has to be.
Yeah.
Union Square.
Have you gone and visited it, Lewis?
Yeah.
How did you like it?
It's beautiful. You know, I mean, it's weird. It's almost like you can't even figure out how to buy a product there, right?
That's actually a really good point. Yeah, there's no Genius Bar. There's just tables full of products, and that's it. And I think if you want to buy something, you just have to flag someone down, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, find somebody with a blue shirt and say, hi, I want this. Oh, yeah, sure, okay. It's just weird. It's very weird. Unlike any other store I've ever been in my life.
It's like shopping inside of a museum. That's the level of beauty that is built into this structure. I'm going to have a video out about this actually on my YouTube channel. There's videos out about it now, so you guys may have already seen it. But it's really high ceilings, gorgeous entrance with these huge swivel doors that open and close automatically so they can control the air temperature of the interior of the building. It all happens programmatically. They don't even touch the doors. And they have imported limestone from Portugal in the walls. All these beautiful gardens everywhere. I mean, it's just incredible. It makes you feel euphoric. I was just hanging out outside the Apple Store. Remember when I was clowning on Angela Arendt saying they wanted people to hang out at the Apple Store? Well, I'm still going to clown on it a little bit. I don't think people are going to hang out at Apple like they do at Starbucks. But when they place these beautiful Apple Stores in retail, large retail locations like malls, people are absolutely going to hang out there because they're absolute like oases of beauty. You just sit there. It's covered, and you just relax. And once you get your meter filled, you're feeling good, you go inside and you spend $3,000 on a MacBook Pro. And I think it's actually a really smart strategy because these premises are so beautiful. The architecture is so well crafted that it gets you euphoric and it makes you feel like you want to take a piece of it home with you. And it transfers to the products inside the store. So I was in there looking at products, as I've done 100 times. But I was feeling so good. I was like, man, maybe I really do need a new iPad. Oh, man, maybe I do need an Apple Pencil. Maybe I do need a MacBook Pro. It was weird. I knew I didn't, But I felt compelled to buy a computer, and so I bought a $5,000 iMac Pro.
Are you serious?
No, I didn't. I didn't buy anything. I didn't buy anything.
Wow.
I just sat outside and loitered. But the other weird thing is they encouraged that loitering. They didn't even care that I had my video camera in there. They let me run all around. They were talking to me about the different features of the building. It's like they wanted me to be there filming stuff.
Wow.
So they could share the store experience. But I'm a little bit more enthusiastic, I think, about it than you are, Lewis. I thought it was incredible. Absolutely incredible. It was, you know, like when you go to Europe and you go inside one of those amazing old buildings that have been there for 1,000 years and the architecture is inspiring. That's what I felt like when I was in the Apple Store. Did you not have the same experience?
Well, I haven't been to this one in Seattle. I mean,
maybe ours is nicer. I mean, ours does have the nicest screen. They have a 6K, 10-foot screen. It's the nicest screen in all of Apple. And no other stores have these ginormous swiveling doors that we have on our building. So maybe ours just is nicer than yours.
Yeah, and the San Francisco store, I mean, it's not that big, you know? I mean, the outdoor grove area or whatever, you know? Yeah. I mean, first off, it's San Francisco, so half the time it's freezing cold, but only in the summer. Yeah, I don't know. I like the stores a lot, but that's maybe the only one that I've been to that's that new design. And went to one in, where was I at? Spain, Barcelona. Mm-hmm. It didn't have the Grove, but even
well, I
just
think there's
those
only
stores.
Three Grove stores at this point.
Yeah,
and I don't know if they're going to put these big flagship stores everywhere, or I don't know what their plan is, or if they're going to Groveify the Apple stores that they have now, but. This was truly an amazing feat. It reaffirmed Steve Jobs' philosophy that every little thing matters. You know, like when his dad was building those cabinets when he was a kid, and he was like, "We're going to use nice wood on the back of the cabinets." And Steve Jobs was like, "Why are we going to do that, Papa?" And he's like, "Well, son, we don't use cheap wood. Even though it's going to be in a place that we can't see it, it still needs to be fine quality all throughout." That's what the Apple Store is like. There's little fine qualities everywhere that you would never even know about unless you went and asked questions. And I'm going to save some of this stuff for my video. There's a lot of like little strange quirks about this place that were revealed to me when I was investigating, walking throughout the store and talking to people. I'm really compelled. I really want to talk about it now, but I should hold off for my video because otherwise I'm going to spoil it. But there's lots of weird little stuff like that where you don't even notice them at first, and then you get closer and you're like, oh, wait a second, that design element looks familiar to me. And then you go ask a question, they're like, oh yeah, this was inspired by, and then they tell you the story and you're like, wow, this place truly is amazing. Anyway, this isn't supposed to be some ad for this upcoming, I'm not trying to just do a teaser for this upcoming video I'm doing. It's just a really beautiful location, and I think it's going to make Apple sell even more stuff because, like I said, when you go in there, you just feel your wallet leaving your pocket and just opening itself and flying away, and all your dollar bills just fly out of your wallet, and the Apple Store employees just pluck them out of the air, and you don't even mind. You won't even mind. That's how good you're going to feel when you're in one of these Apple Store Grove locations. Let's talk about some actual Apple products that will be inhabiting these Apple Stores. Probably sometime soon.
Sometime this year, maybe?
I think probably in September. I think, remember when I talked about the Orgasmic hardware unveiling last week? Lewis, you weren't here. I was saying that I think we're in for an Orgasmic hardware event come September where Apple is just going to release all the updates for all the old products, which is basically everything right now. And we got a report this week, Buster, didn't we? The Eurasian reports.
Or the Eurasian Report. The Eurasian Economic Commission.
The notorious EEC.
Oh.
That seems to corroborate that we're getting stories sometime soon. Or hardware sometime soon, I should say.
Yeah. New iPads, new Macs, registered with the EEC. I think they registered 2 MacBook Pros, 1 MacBook Air, 1 MacBook, and then there was 5 iPad models. So MacBook Pro refresh, iPad Pro refresh coming out possibly soon. I don't know when. Maybe
it's
got to
be
probably
very soon, like probably by September, and then maybe shipping in October. Maybe we'll get the event in October. But five MacBook Pro models, 5 iPad models. This could be the one. This could be the one I've been waiting for. And
for 3 years?
I think so. I think so. Here's why. So not only do we get this Eurasian Economic Commission filing, We got another story this week that Apple may finally be adding the Coffee Lake Intel chips to their MacBook Pro line. And the reason that's exciting is because the Coffee Lake chips have additional cores. So for the last, I would say, 5 years, Intel has not really been doing anything exciting with their chips. And Apple keeps adding different I/O, different features to the MacBook Pro to make it appealing to users, freshen it up. But what I've been wanting is just pure, raw, unadulterated horsepower. Am I right, Lewis? You seem like a guy that'd be into big motors.
You cannot have enough horsepower.
That's what I'm talking about. I want one of those like ventilation hoods on the top. And the Coffee Lake chip is the one that finally has the horsepower that I have been wanting. Although chips aren't really getting as fast every year as they used to, this one is getting more core. So the current 15-inch MacBook Pro has a 4-core chip, and with hyper-threading, it acts like 8 cores. And the 13-inch MacBook Pro has a 2-core chip, and with hyper-threading, it can act like it has 4 cores. Well, in this new Geekbench score, a new Coffee Lake MacBook Pro showed up on Geekbench, is a better way to say it. And it showed this computer having a Coffee Lake chip. And the interesting thing is it looked to be a 13-inch MacBook Pro, but it didn't have 2 cores. It had 4 cores, which would blow my socks right off my feet. I would be so excited to have a 4-core 13-inch MacBook Pro, because I think the 13-inch MacBook Pro is probably the perfect form factor. Plus, it also means that the 15-inch is probably going to have 6 cores. And so what we're talking about here is a 40 to 50% increase in multitasking performance, which is massive, a huge, massive gain, more than any other MacBook Pro probably in the last 5 years. So if they end up doing this, I don't think I can resist, Buster. I think the nipples are going to go full mast. I think your beard should probably go full wet. Full dampness.
Okay.
And I might not be able to say no, even though the computer's going to cost $3,000 totally decked out for the 15-inch. I don't think I could say no. This might be the one that I've finally been waiting for, the raw horsepower I've been demanding. Do you think you can convince Leander to get you a brand new MacBook Pro with more horsepower?
Yeah.
Think of all the words you'll be able to type. How many words you'll be able to type faster with more cores?
Yeah, it's the 2 cores that's keeping me from turning out 3-4
blog
posts.
It's really the 2 cores that's keeping you from reaching the potential I know that you have. That's the way you need to phrase it to Leander. Actually, Leander will buy one, and he probably won't be able to tell which computer is which. So you just give him your old one, and then you take the new one, and he'll never know the difference.
I can swap it out before he puts it in a backpack and leaves it in his car and gets it ripped off.
or you can just rob his car.
Maybe that's the way to do it, isn't it? I follow him around and bust out his window.
He leaves tens of thousands of dollars worth of Apple hardware in his unlocked car. And crime and I guess car robbery is so high in San Francisco, he would never know it was you.
That's right.
Of course, doesn't he have that new camera that he's reviewing in his car?
I don't know if that thing's up and running. I haven't heard anything about that in a while, so...
I think he reviewed it on a past show.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if... I don't remember him mentioning it lately, so I don't know if... maybe it's just keeping his car safe and sound, and that's why we haven't had any break-ins lately.
Well, I would just be careful. Wear a ski mask, or wear like a presidential mask or something like Point Break so that he can't tell that it's you. that's correct. Anyway, very exciting news. We could be looking at a huge amount of products being released this September, including the powerful MacBook Pro that I think many of us have been waiting for. I am very excited. The money's saved. I'm on a 2013 MacBook Pro that's starting to have some problems. I'm hoping that I can resolve these problems by wiping the OS and reinstalling. But it's getting older. This machine is starting to have little issues, like the trackpad is not working the way it should. So I'm looking to get my hands on some brand new hardware. Buster, did we just lose you? Are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm here.
Okay, wonderful.
I'm ready to rock.
Okay, good. Fantastic. I like the attitude. You're ready to roll. All right, Lewis, we should talk about this Apple Maps story that came out this week. I know Apple Maps isn't the most sexy topic, but... They're rebuilding it from the ground up. And I use Apple Maps so much, I actually thought this was pretty interesting. What did you think?
Yeah, definitely. And it was, you know, I actually did not even make it through that entire article. I tried. I was on vacation, and I just, you know.
You're on vacation. You're not required to read this. We should preface this conversation with TechCrunch did this really in-depth, deep dive into Apple Maps and Apple's attempts to rebuild it from the ground up. What those mystery vans are that have been driving all around California. And he talked to Eddie Q. He talked to some of the other executives, and they created what was a probably 17,000 to 20,000 word essay on the current state of Apple Maps and where it's heading. Anyway,
yeah, and, please continue. And he talked a lot about, you know, how it came to be as this cobbled together thing, right? And they just, you know, it's like it's been getting better and better and better, but they realized like we just kind of need to start over, right? They need to just own all the data, not rely on all these third-party things, and make it their own. And there's a lot of fascinating stuff in there. Like they want the ability to, you know, make changes really quickly, which isn't that easy if they're relying on third-party data. They, you know, like if some street is blocked off, they want to be able to change it right now. So,
and that's something that Google has been able to do. If roads get closed off, Google Maps somehow will know that relatively quickly, and Apple Maps never knows. You know, it just tries to take you down streets that are closed. Like in Seattle, we'll have streets that are closed all summer, and Apple Maps never figures that out, but Google does.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they make a pretty good case for this is a seriously important endeavor. And, you know, pointing out that, geez, your phone is, I mean, it's such an integral part of what you use your phone for. I mean, it's, I had a little, when I was over in Portugal and Spain just a couple weeks ago, you know, we're over there and it's like, holy crap, you know, my phone starts freaking out. I can't use it. And it's like, how do you even do anything without your phone these days?
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, sheer panic. Oh my God, what am I gonna do? I mean, at least my wife had an iPhone with her, so hers was working. But I even, you know, it's so you do everything with it, and mapping is essential. You know, you're in a town, you don't know where you're gonna get there. That's the way you do it. And the one thing that I constantly find wrong with Apple Maps when I'm touring over in Europe or, you know, touring, what the hell. Every now and then I put in an address and it gives me a place like in another country. So I don't know why that's happening. I don't know what's up with that. That's the one thing that I find consistently wrong with Apple Maps is there are just some things that are completely inaccurate.
Totally, yeah. FUBAR'd, yeah. And I've had it do the same thing with me in Seattle where I will enter an address in and it will take me to a completely different part of Seattle where that place doesn't exist. And you won't know until you're there that it doesn't exist. And then you start looking at Google Maps and you're like, what the hell? It took me to the complete opposite side of Seattle and the thing that I'm trying to get to isn't even here.
Yeah, and that's super disappointing, right? And the thing that's the biggest drag is that you want to use Apple Maps because it works so well with your phone. It works so well with your watch. Well. With your watch.
Yeah.
Come on, that's what I love is the maps and the watch working in concert, walking down a street in a town you don't know, turn left, you know, tick, 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 whatever it is, the little way that it taps on your wrist. That's awesome when it works. And it does work most of the time, but, you know, that one screwball, oops, it's off by 800 kilometers, keeps you – I'm constantly looking at both, you know, or maybe I look at Apple Maps and the wife looks at Google, you know, just to double check. And that's kind of ridiculous that you have to double check a mapping service to make sure that, you know, it's taking you to the right country.
Right, because you just don't trust it. And I don't trust it either. And just the other day I had it do the exact same thing. I was trying to go somewhere and it was trying to take me – on a street that didn't exist or a street that was like a one-way street and I couldn't go that way because Apple Maps just didn't know it. So we all know about all the problems. They're well documented. So because maps are so integral to our lives, because different apps use GPS location services for doing different things, Apple has decided to take over maps and build it completely by themselves. The only other company doing this is Google. And we learned this week that Apple has been working on this for 4 years And there are two big pieces to this plan. So they want to own the entire stack of map information, right? One of the pieces are those vans. So those vans that we thought that have been driving around California that are mapping vans are indeed Apple mapping vans. And one of the TechCrunch journalists got to drive around with the van and see all the information that they were collecting. And these vans are driving around. They're taking extremely high-resolution images of the areas, and they're also creating 3D maps of the spaces that they drive through, which is interesting, right? It's not just imagery. It's 3D mapping, which who knows how they're going to use that in the future, because I'm not sure how much 3D mapping is currently used in a Maps app. But they're getting rid of OpenStreetMap. They're getting rid of TomTom, all the third-party services that they were working with, and they're taking ownership of these maps aspects. And the second part is they are flipping on the switch to draw in the iPhone data that all of us have available on our devices, but until they turn this on, only live on our devices. Now, Google has been doing this with Android devices for a long time, but Apple has created an innovative new way to do it so that it retains your privacy, which I don't know how Google does it, but I'm guessing they're not doing as much to privatize your data as Apple is doing. So the Apple version works like this. When you leave your location, the Apple Maps app won't send that data to Apple's servers. And then when you're ending your drive, it also won't send that last segment to the Apple servers. The only part that is collected, if it's collected at all, is the center portion of your drive. So they don't know where you started, they don't know where you're going, and then it anonymizes that data and sends that data to Apple. So Apple is only collecting the middle of your trip, and it also doesn't know where that information is coming from. It just knows that the information is information that can be used for mapping data. So this will allow them, just imagine, I mean, all the millions and millions of iPhones that are going to be switched on and they're going to be sending information to the Apple Map Cloud. Imagine how fast they'll be able to update their maps. They'll know when roads are closed. They'll know about traffic information. They'll know about new neighborhoods that are opened. And it's also going to allow them to figure out things like how to direct you so that you can get to the correct side of a building. Like, how many times have you been downtown and you're trying to find like an address and it takes you to a side of the building that you can't enter on? And what Eddie Q was saying is with this new information, they're going to be able to direct you like right into the parking garage or right to the front of the building so you know exactly where to enter. You're not like sitting there scratching your head trying to figure out where the hell to go. And it will also increase the intelligence of the last 50 feet of your drive. You know, like when you get somewhere and it's like your location's on your left and you're like, where the hell is it? I don't even know. The new Apple Maps will be much more intelligent. It will be able to direct you exactly to your location instead of just leaving you hanging on that last 50 feet part of the drive. So this is just part of what they're building in to Apple Maps. They have committed to building what Eddie Q called the best Apple Maps app, the best Maps app, I should say, on the market. They want to make it the premier Maps app to use. And this is exactly what we've been clamoring for a long time. You get the beauty of Apple Maps, the UI that we all love, with the integration on your iPhone, and then you tie that to an actual smart data set that will be able to actually get you to where you want to go. That's going to be a huge development for Apple Maps, and I'm pretty excited about it. I just hope and I pray that this actually works, Lewis.
Exactly.
After all this, it's still not a total POS.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the big thing, right? This is the constant thing that's going on with Apple, right? They're so privacy-minded, which is awesome, but it puts so many constraints on what they can do. And that's why Google knows everything, and Apple Siri, for instance, doesn't know as many things. And I mean, as I was hearing about this, and you know, it sounds like they really are thinking about it. I'm in the same court as you. I hope to God they get this right, because it'll be a beautiful thing if they do. I'm a little, you know, nervous, but
they'll be releasing this with iOS 12. And the other part that we should mention is this new high quality map data is only going to be available for certain areas when it's released. And I was reading mostly California. So don't expect your area to have this high density app information right when it launches. They're doing this city by city. So who knows when they'll get to my city or cities in Europe or cities worldwide. Right now, they're just focusing on areas around Apple, which, you know, makes sense. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I thought was insane was Apple now has hundreds of map editors. They have hundreds of map editors working on editing their maps, and they've built a whole new comprehensive set of tools for the map editors to use to rapidly change the maps so they can, you know, make updates quickly. And they have thousands of employees working on this. That's just mind-boggling. I had no idea this was such a huge endeavor for Apple. And like, I would have guessed, oh, they probably like 50 guys working on this, you know? And no, thousands of employees, hundreds of map editors, all working together to build a new maps app from the ground up. And they've been working on it for 4 years. 4 years they've been working on this.
Crazy.
So we're in for something special, I think, when this finally gets updated. And I think it's also worth noting, don't expect a dramatic new UI when this launches. Eddie Q was saying, we're not changing the UI very much at all. We're just changing the map layers. You'll see more comprehensive, more accurate map data, better looking layouts of maps, but the UI is going to be familiar. It's not going to be anything drastically different, although it does sound like they're working on that too, but that won't be coming for a while. So that was the big story around maps. Again, I'll link the story in the show notes if you want to check out the TechCrunch piece. If you haven't already read it, it is worth reading. I read through like 85% of it. There's lots of great graphs and stuff in it. They clearly did a lot of work putting this together, so I commend the guys who have been pursuing this story. It was a really cool piece. If you can make it through all of it, that is, without falling asleep. if you can read a story for 20 minutes about maps, more power to you. You're more of a man than I am. I've just never had that great of a love for maps. What were you saying, Lewis?
I should start early in the day on the article.
Yeah, right after your coffee, preferably. And then be ready for a noon siesta so you can regain your energy. Okay. I think that's all the stories, isn't it? Yeah, I think we got through all those. Wow, we did that fast. Whoa. So before we get to an all-new Under Review, let me give a quick thanks to Casper for supporting this episode. Podcast listeners are invited to take advantage of Casper's competitive, limited-time 4th of July offer. Casper is the place to shop for 4th of July mattress savings this year. Do you need a new bed? Well, Casper has three lines to choose from, including the original Casper, the innovative Wave model, and the streamlined Essential. Every Casper mattress is designed to help you sleep cool and regulate your body temperature throughout the night, which, dude, we're getting like a heat wave in Seattle. How is it there in San Francisco?
It was warm. It was in the, I think, in the 80s. And there, half of Yolo County is on fire. There's dust all over the, or ash all over the front of my truck.
So, it's hot outside, there's smoke in the air. You don't want to be hot and sticky in your bed, Lewis. Is there anything worse than being hot and sticky in your bed? No. You want to sleep. You want to sleep cool all throughout the night. Well, you can with a Casper mattress. Plus, you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. So you sleep on the bed for 100 nights. Sleep, dream, make love. If you don't like the bed, you can return it. Casper has a hassle-free guarantee. If you're not completely satisfied, you can return the bed. Here's what you need to do. If you're ready to get a new bed, if you're waking up with aches and pains, maybe your arm is falling asleep at night, you got lower back pain, upper back pain, odds are you need to try a new bed. Head on over to casper.com/savings. Save up to $225 off your order. The special offer expires July 9th, 2018. Terms and conditions do apply, so you got to act fast. That's casper.com/savings to save up to $225 off your order, valid until July 9th. Let's move on to an all-new Under Review, the segment where we tell you guys about the stuff that we're currently testing out. Bus, you got a hot one this week?
Well, I wouldn't call it hot.
Okay.
But it's an affordable pick. Seems how everybody Functional. Says that we have too much. We're too bougie and we have too many expensive picks lately.
I don't know if anyone actually ever says that, but we do have a lot of expensive picks. I was thinking back to the time, which was recently, that you pitched that $500 battery pack. And I was like, kind of an expensive pick $500 for a battery pack. I'm sure it's very functional.
I got more expensive picks up my pocket, so.
I know you also have like a foldable paddle board that cost $1,200. I mean, you're just living life in your van. Yeah. It's filled with many expensive trinkets. But yeah, so I've got, and mine's actually free. So let me go ahead and pitch mine. Yeah, it's 100% free. Do you like to read, Buster? I think that you do.
Sure, sometimes.
You're a reader. But you like to read paper books, right?
Yeah.
You're more of a paper book guy.
That paperback.
I do like paperbacks as well, but I like to read digitally because one of the things I like to do is look up words when I'm reading because there's so many words that I just don't know. You know, I've
got so many words, best words, the most beautiful words.
Well, I was just going to say I like to know the best words. And oftentimes when I'm reading, I see words and I'm like, I have no idea what that means. So you can just highlight it, read it, and then get the definition and stuff. Anyway, so I found a new reading app that I really like. It's called Libby, Libby. And it's free, as I mentioned, and it connects to your local library. So in a previous show, I pitched the Overdrive app, which does the exact same thing as Libby, except I think Libby is the replacement for Overdrive. And so it's a library book, audiobook app. And once you have it installed, you can just download ebooks from your library or you can download audiobooks and then you can listen to them, you can read them. This app is what Overdrive should have been from the beginning. Overdrive was one of the most offensively, horrendously designed apps I'd ever used. It would have brought a tear to Steve Jobs' eye. I heard that Johnny Ive saw it and made him green. He literally vomited into his own shirt pockets. So this is the new version. It's much easier on the eyes. It's much easier to use. It's beautiful. And plus, you have access to all of your library's many plethora of ebooks and audiobooks, which I don't know if all libraries are like this now, but my Seattle library system has tons of ebooks. I mean, they get ebooks for virtually everything now. Any popular book that comes out, there's the paperback, the hardback, and then there's the ebook version. Plus, there are the audiobooks. So, if you like to read for free, and you use your local library system like I do, and if you don't, you should check it out because you might be surprised if it's been a while. Your local library might have a lot of stuff there that you could read for free and not have to pay for. Check out Libby, Libby. It's very highly rated on the App Store, and it's free. No reason not to check it out. Buster, you go next. You still there, Buster?
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm here.
That's my ice bottle. Sorry about that. I got ice cube. It's like 85 degrees in the studio right now. If you guys could see how bad I was sweating, you'd be very turned on.
Oh, when it's 80? Wow.
Yeah, I'm perspiring like crazy over here. But what do you got for us, Buster?
Oh, I got this thing. It's called the Lumi Noodle by Power Practical. Okay, so what it is, it basically looks like Wonder Woman's lasso. It's a light-up LED rope, and it's super useful for camping and stuff like that, or van lifing for, you know, if you need lights. And you can kind of basically just string this light rope up anywhere. It's like got a bunch of LED lights in it, and they change colors, and you can set like the brightness and a bunch of other different things with it. But it's like awesome for parties, like if you ever have an outdoor gathering or something like that. It's like $90. I think it's like has 1,000 lumens of light total on the highest setting, so it's like super bright too. But
this thing looks cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. Like, it's kind of like those Hue light strips that they have, only you can actually change the colors all from the remote right there. And you can plug it into like a USB battery pack and use it all night. So that's like what I've been taking lately on campouts and stuff, is I'll just grab this light rope and like string it around the camp while we're partying. And it's just, I don't know, the ambiance it creates is amazing.
So much ambiance. just the light just illuminating your bare chest in the moonlight.
Oh, yeah, while we're cliff jumping into the water and skinny dipping.
Is it waterproof or anything?
It is waterproof, I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is it water resistant or is it waterproof?
I'm going to say water resistant over waterproof, but I can't see the specs. I think it's waterproof, but
okay. You don't take it into the water, though, with you.
I don't take it into the water, but we'll usually, like, string it around. Like, if we're cliff jumping at night, string it around the pool and stuff. And, like, and then we have, like, a couple other lanterns and stuff that we use, too. But, like, this thing, like, usually, like, everybody's like, oh, my gosh, that thing's awesome. And then I really will use it as a lasso, like, and like swing it around my head. It looks really cool in pictures.
And just rope people with it.
Oh yeah, it's awesome.
Pull them in close.
Jeez.
Yeah, man, this thing is cool. Just from the pictures of it, I'm like, dude, I want one of these too. Did you get one of these for review?
Yeah.
Boom. This is a good. This is a good product. Yeah, and 4.5 stars out of 5 stars on Amazon with 1,100 ratings.
Yeah.
People love it. Yeah. Now, do they make any other lighting products? Because I swear I've heard of this.
They have a couple. Yeah. Okay. They have like smaller versions of the Lumi Noodle, and then they also have like a bunch of. I've used. What else do they have? They have like these pots that you can like that turn like heat into electricity, and then they have like some flashlights and lighters, like a mini lighter flashlight thing.
Mm-hmm. So like outdoorsy type stuff.
Yeah, mostly outdoorsy products, but they have cool. A lot of really cool stuff, and man, they have some interior lighting stuff too.
All right, well, we'll link to this in the show notes if people want to check this out. You know, I don't know. Do you have anything, Lewis? You've been on vacation. I don't want to put you on the spot. If you have something great, if not, we'll just wrap it up.
I got a little something.
Oh, you do.
Got a little something.
Well, something.
Yeah. I took this on vacation. It's an Axis inlay phone case by Rustec. And it's I've never heard of this. It's a small company. I think they make I know they make skateboards. I don't know if they started out making skateboards or whatever. Anyway, this is a phone case that's it's got like a TPU, you know, really thin TPU I don't know, whatever, back, what the hell, the case itself. But then it's got a laser-cut, hand-inlaid wooden hard... Let me try that one more time. Wow, too much beer, perhaps.
You're fried.
Okay.
You're going too hard with the darts.
Okay.
Wait, breath. Who was the company again? Access what?
The company
what?
Is called...
Rustec.
Rustec, okay. Rustec.
I see, got it.
And the model is the Axis inlay phone case. They got a variety of these things. That's just the name, right? Different basically patterns. And the case is a TPU case, but then it's got this awesome looking wood veneer back. And they use lasers to cut these things and these precise things, and they hand inlay everything. And you know, the guys hit me up a while back and said, "Hey, do you want to check out our case?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure. You know, I love checking out phone cases, whatever." And they look good. You know, pictures look good. And I got it, and I'm like, "Oh my god, this has got to be so fragile." You know, it's like, "Oh, geez, I'm almost terrified to put it on my phone. It's gonna get trashed in a day and a half." And I finally put it on, and I took it on this vacation, right? So I'm using this thing day in, day out, setting it down on sketchy, damp surfaces and things, and I'm going, "Oh my god, it's going to get wet, it's going to swell up, it's going to be you know what, it's great." And I did a little more research on it. So they take their wood veneer graphics and they bond them together with epoxy, and then they use oil, you know, some kind of oil rather than polyurethane. They put oil on top of this thing, so it keeps this you know, nice kind of actual wooden feel. And honestly, it looks great. It looks After 3 weeks on the road, it still looks fantastic, and super thin and light. Super, it's just kind of a groovy case, you know. I never had a wood case before. I've always seen them, and I've always thought, "Oh, it's kind of cool," but I like the way it looks.
Does it smell like wood? Does it have a rich mahogany scent to it?
You know what? I can't tell what.
Give
kind
it a whiff.
Of... Yeah. You're like Dennis Hopper, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Anything?
Yeah,
any
there's
woody?
A whiff of wood shop there.
Okay, that's a bonus in my
bad.
Book.
You know, and there's a little thing that's kind of a little special little detail on the sides of that TPU case. It's got like a knurled kind of a feel, so it gives it a really good grip. You know, it doesn't feel plasticky in your hand, and it is plastic, but anyway.
Cool.
It's a nice case. You check them out.
They got a bunch of different designs too. I'm looking at their website right now.
I like the PDX map one. I guess maybe they're based in Portland. I can't find that information on their website.
I haven't had the brains
to ask them yet, but it looks cool. If I lived in Portland, I'd put one of those on my phone immediately.
Right away?
Immediately. That's faster than right away.
Then if your phone GPS stops working, you could just flip your phone over and just use the back.
Just squint real hard. Yeah, right.
Problem solved. Okay, so the tell me the name of the case again. I already forgot
it's called the Axis accesses the model inlay phone case by Rustek.
Okay, the Access Inlay Phone Case by Rustek. We'll, of course, link to this in the show notes as well. I think we should go ahead and wrap it up there. I'm sweating so bad, guys. I think I'm, like, getting heat stroke in here. It's like 90 degrees. It's literally almost 90 degrees in here. I don't even have air conditioning in here. Yeah.
You need an air conditioner.
Yeah, I know. I also need some ice water, and I need to get into my very short jean shorts. I should have started the show in those anyway. So let's go ahead. We got to wrap it up before I pass out. So, Elcast, we have for you guys this week. Next week, I think El Caney comes back next week, doesn't he?
Supposed to be.
Okay, well, we'll see if he actually joins for the show. But you're going to be back too, right, Lewis?
Yeah.
You're back at it next week. Everyone's getting back to work.
Absolutely. Summer's over.
Yeah, that's how I felt in Seattle too. It was like 65 degrees all week, and then today happened and boom. Okay, that's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come say hi, talk to us about any of the stories we mentioned in today's show, we're on Twitter. I'm at Airfawn. Buster's BST3R. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30 plus minute Apple conversation you're gonna hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Lewis, you take this one.
Next time!
Oh, that had just the right amount of stank on it.
Really?
Yeah, I can tell that you've been on vacation mode. You're feeling good. You're feeling loose.
I started drinking beer at noon.
That's funny, because that kind of sounds like the next time a guy would give if he had been drinking beer all day.
Next time! That's kind of what they do with the darts, you know? You start drinking the beer, maybe it's a little more fun.
I wouldn't have had you pegged as a beer drinker.
Really?
Yeah, I thought you didn't drink for some reason.
Are you kidding me?
I'm literally always drinking.
Wow. Well, that's encouraging to hear. I'm glad that I'm glad I'm not setting too bad of a role model for the children of America.
Well, I thought you were going low carb or no carb.
Low carb or no carb.
Well, you know,
I've given that up. You're eating those weird soy sausages, and then you're tossing back the brews on top of that.
Yeah, you know, it's Vegas. I'm in here for darts. You know, I'm not going to sit here and sip kombucha. you know, next week it'll be back to carefully monitoring exactly how many beers I drank, exactly how many. It's all off. You know, you go to a buffet in Vegas. What are you going to do? Really?
That's what I'm saying.
You go, 0.23 grams of this, and, you know, no thanks.
Hey, I'm not chastising you. I think you got to let loose every once in a while.
You got to.
Get a partay.
Yeah.
Buster's been let loose. Also,
too much.
The really encouraging thing is I went to a vacation for 2 weeks. I was eating and drinking wine all day long, right? Beer every day. And I'm like, oh, God, I've been so diligent about watching this and losing weight and stuff. I'm going to go home and gain like 10 pounds. You know what? I came back maybe a pound. No, Dan, not even really.
You're kidding.
Same weight.
You should maintain this lifestyle all year round. You probably started a whole new diet regimen.
You know what it is? I've actually learned to say, no, I don't need 5 pieces of bread.
Yeah.
And no, I don't need that one more beer. Yeah.
10's enough.
I learned something. It's, it's hard to believe.
It's never enough for El Caney.
10's enough.
10's just getting started if you're El Caney.